Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you. Morning, everybody. Oh, microphones, no problem. Sorry, good morning. Great to see you all. My name's Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here, so I want to welcome you again. Thanks so much for coming. Especially if you're new, thank you for being here. We hope you feel very at home with us. We just finished up a series, which I think was, interesting, challenging series called The Big Picture, where we were talking about what is the kingdom, what is the gospel, what is the church, and we were exploring that. Today, we're going to kind of round that that series off by reflecting it back a little bit. We'll do some of that later on, but we're also going to be hearing from some people in our community about different things that are happening, I think, exciting, encouraging things. We'll be hearing about the Harvest Festival, for instance, a little bit later on. But we're also going to be doing some praying during the service today. We're going to lead some prayers. And part of that is related to the fact that, and I mentioned some of this last week, this year we want to have a real focus on prayer. Now that, that probably sounds a bit unusual for a church. Like, aren't you always focused on prayer? Well, we probably, if we're honest about it, we probably realize we, none of us pray as much as perhaps we let on. Or, as we all think, we all probably think everybody else is praying a lot as well. But often prayer is a bit of a struggle, so we're going to focus on prayer, and actually we'll have a little series on prayer in a couple of weeks or so. That begins in at the beginning of, towards the beginning of November, November the 8th, and we'll look at what prayer is and talk about some of the struggles that we might have with prayer. So we're going to do that in a few weeks' time. But we're also, as part of this focus on prayer for the year, we're having prayer themes each month. And we're going to, during the services, we'll focus on some of those themes. So, for instance, the theme for October is reaching out to our local community. So we'll have some prayers for our local community a little bit later on in the service. And this is a month, as you just heard, where we're doing a lot to reach out. We've just had the Harvest Festival. We'll hear about that in a second. And we're also next week going to be having our fall day of service, where we're going to go out and serve people in the area with lots of great practical projects. So it's fitting that we're praying about that as well. So we're going to be doing that throughout the rest of the service. Before we move on, though, we have a very special guest with us this morning. And Brian Peterson, our pastor of children, is going to get up in a moment. Well, he's not the special guest. Actually, sorry. You almost got a round of applause there, Brian. You are very special. Yeah, let's hear it for Brian. Yeah. But we have an even more special guest than Brian Peterson. We have with us the mayor-elect of Ipala, Ezra and Javier. So it's so wonderful to have you here. Brian's going to get it. Yeah, let's have a round of applause. As you know, we have this ongoing, really special relationship with the town of Ipala. And we feel very grateful for that. Brian's going to get up and just say a few words and then introduce the mayor. So, Brian, you might even get another round of applause. You never know. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we have, just a minute. We'll have multiple people up here on the platform. But as Matthew said, we really believe that, part of following Jesus and part of the process for us as a community following Jesus, that God has led us into a really exciting relationship with the people of Ipala. And we are very much excited to be able to just, I want to highlight for just a moment some of the things that have happened since, really that began somewhere around 2010. So Maria probably would be good at this point to join me. And we're going to do some tag team translation this morning, thanks to Mara and Salvador. But should be good.
Is it on? Can you hear me?
I think it's probably back there. On, yeah.
It says
there
on.
We go. Oh, okay. All right. So really, as we've gathered together as a community and kind of pulled some of our resources in addition to what we're doing in the local community, we've been able to just experience a great friendship with the people of Ipala.
Según hemos podido recolectar los recursos de esta comunidad, hemos podido establecer una relación muy estrecha con el pueblo de Ipala.
Right now we have 51 scholarship students who are now able to go to middle school and high school.
Tenemos 51 estudiantes becados que pueden ir a la escuela intermedia y al bachiller.
We've worked on about 8 construction projects in local schools.
Hemos trabajado en 8 proyectos de construcción en las escuelas en el área.
We've established a computer center for low-income students.
Establecimos un centro de computación para los estudiantes de escasos recursos.
We've helped turn some dirt floors into cement floors.
Hemos podido construir pisos mínimos.
And the people here have contributed to help purchase over 130 smokeless stoves, Lorena.
Y hemos podido contribuir para lograr como más de 130 Lorenas en las casas.
We've provided medicine for dozens and helped construct 3 homes.
Hemos dado medicinas para docenas de personas y hemos ayudado a construir casas.
And since that time, over 60 people from Cedar Ridge have enjoyed the privilege of traveling to Ipala.
Y durante este tiempo, aproximadamente 60 personas de la comunidad de Cedar Ridge han podido visitar a Ipala directamente.
And it's been great to welcome so many people from Ipala to visit with us.
Y le damos la gran bienvenida a todos los que han venido a visitar de Ipala para conocernos a nosotros.
In all of that, we really are so grateful for the friendship and the partnership that has emerged.
Estamos muy agradecidos por la amistad y por los lazos de amistad que se han desarrollado con ustedes.
Our key partners are a committee of people from Ipala called CEDAR, who have been a great benefit for the people of Ipala and our relationship.
Hemos establecido una gran relación con el grupo de CEDAR, que ha sido de gran beneficio y de bendición para nosotros. Es el grupo con el cual coordinamos en Ipala.
And we've really appreciated the relationship we have with the local Ipaltecos in this area.
Y también agradecemos la relación que tenemos con los Ipaltecos ausentes que están en esta zona.
And we look forward to continuing our relationship with a third municipal administration.
Y estamos contentos de continuar esta relación con la tercera administración municipal en Ipala que se avecina con su elección.
So we love the people of Ipala, and you have been very good to us.
Queremos mucho a la gente de Ipala, y ustedes han sido muy, muy lindos y muy generosos con nosotros.
I'm going to ask then that we would again welcome, first of all, we have Estela Folgar and Carlos Monroy, who are part of the new administration, I think.
Queremos dar la bienvenida a señor Estela, señor Monroy, que han venido con el señor Javier, que son parte de la administración, ¿sí? Son parte de la nueva administración, le damos la bienvenida.
And Estwin Javier was elected in September and will take office in January as the mayor of Ipala.
Y el señor Estwin Javier, que fue elegido como alcalde de Ipala, y tomará su administración en enero de este año.
So would you,
o del próximo
come
año,
and,
digo.
And
you want them to join us?
Yeah.
Si nos hace el favor de venir acá, all three.
However they want to.
Si quieren venir todos, señor Estela, señor Monroy. Mr. Javier will share some words with us.
Muy buenos días. Reciban la bendición en el nombre de nuestro Dios, de nuestro Creador, en esta mañana.
Good morning. Ask that you receive God's blessings, our Creator, in this morning.
Para nosotros es un honor muy grande estar reunidos con ustedes, hermanos, agradeciendo ese apoyo que han tenido para nuestra gente en Ipala.
It's an honor to be with you this morning, and we greatly appreciate the support that you've given the town of Ipala.
Ustedes han hecho que muchas personas en Ipala les cambie su vida por completo.
You have been instrumental in making a big difference in the lives of many people in Ipala.
Gracias a ustedes, tenemos niños estudiando computación.
Thanks to you, we have children that are learning computer skills.
Tenemos personas, amas de casa usando sus estufas, las cuales antes cocinaban en el suelo.
We have families, women in particular, who are using stoves where in prior they would cook over the floor.
Tenemos una anécdota de una señora que le entregaron una estufa cerca de Navidad.
We have, I'm sharing a story with you, an anecdote of a lady who received a stove close to Christmas time.
Cuando ella la recibió, empezó a llorar y dijo que Santa Claus la había visitado antes de Navidad.
When she received the stove, she cried, she was burst into tears, and she said, Santa Claus has brought me a gift before Christmas.
Y eso para nosotros los ipaltecos es algo que vamos a estar eternamente agradecidos con todos ustedes.
And this is something that for us as ipaltecos we will always be so grateful forever. And grateful to you for these gifts.
Y como alcaldes electos 2016-2020, quisiéramos comprometernos a que esta hermandad pudiera seguir por años.
And as mayor-elect of Ipala, I would like to extend my commitment that this relationship continue for the following years.
Nosotros quisiéramos comprometernos también que por parte de la municipalidad contribuir al porcentaje que se debe poner adicional a la ayuda que ustedes llevan a nuestro Ipala.
As mayor, I also want to commit that we will continue to partner with you in the same way we have partnered in the past, with the same level of commitment financially, percentage-wise, that we've enjoyed in our relationship with you.
Y la próxima vez que ustedes nos visiten, darles un homenaje a los que nos visitan a nombre de todos ustedes acá en Estados Unidos.
And next time we receive you as visitors, we would like to have a special time to honor you in honor of what you do for us and in honor of this community here.
Solo quiero decirles, nuestro Señor me los bendiga siempre y les dé mucha vida y salud. Gracias.
I just want to say that I hope that God continues to bless you and give you much life, and thank you very much. Vamos a tener una oración para ustedes.
We just want to join together in prayer for the mayor-elect, for the people of Ipala, and the people of Guatemala at large. This is a pivotal time, I think, in Guatemala's history, and we want to join together with you in prayer. So why don't we join together and let's pray for our friends, brother. Okay. Our gracious God, we are so grateful and humble for the way you work and the way you bring people together.
Padre amado, estamos agradecidos por la manera en que obras y en que puedes reunirnos a todos para trabajar para tu bien.
We thank you for Mayor-elect Javier and his team of leaders
Te damos gracias por el alcalde electo Javier y por su grupo de líderes.
We ask that you would fill him with wisdom and skill needed to govern the people of Ipala.
Te pedimos que le des sabiduría para poder ejercer su cargo para la gente de Ipala.
We pray that there might be great peace and fairness to all and prosperity for the people.
Pedimos que haya gran paz y prosperidad para la gente de Ipala.
We pray that you would bless him and his administration and his family.
Te pedimos que lo bendigas a él y a su administración y a su familia.
We also are so grateful for the people of Ipala as a whole, their kindness to us and their friendship.
Agradecemos a la gente de Ipala también su bondad, su cariño, su amabilidad, su amistad.
We ask that you, O God, would bless the children and families in that community.
Te pedimos, Señor Dios, que bendigas a las familias y a los niños en esa comunidad.
We pray that they would have a bright future and flourish in every way.
Te pedimos que tengan un gran futuro y que puedan dar provecho en muchas áreas.
And we pray that every person in Ipala would know that they are loved and cared for by you.
Y pedimos que toda la gente de Ipala pueda sentir y saber que Dios los está bendiciendo y amando.
And we pray for the people of Guatemala as a nation.
Oramos por la gente de Guatemala.
We ask that you would guide the elections that for president that take place this month.
Pedimos que obres y que guíes las elecciones que van a tener transcurso próximamente.
We pray that there would be economic growth that would affect even the poorest of the poor.
Pedimos que haya desarrollo económico que toque a todas personas, a los más pobres.
We pray that there would be peace and stability in the land.
Pedimos que haya estabilidad y paz en la tierra.
And we'd ask that there would be integrity in leadership throughout the country.
Y pedimos integridad en liderazgo a través de toda la nación guatemalteca.
And that your blessing would be upon all people.
Y que su bendición esté sobre toda la gente.
We thank you and we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Te damos gracia y pedimos esto en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Amen.
Amén.
Gracias, muchas gracias. One more time, just ask for your blessing.
Great, thanks so much. Okay, we're going to sort of shift gears a little bit here, and I'm going to invite somebody up in a moment who I think we're all very familiar with, Tinika Mather, and she's going to come and share with us a little bit about what's happening locally. Tinika is on our pastoral team. She oversees everything we do to reach out to our local community, and one of the big events of our year that we host is our Harvest Festival, which we had yesterday, and we're going to sort of start off by talking a little bit about that. So let's welcome Tinika. She sneaked up behind me. Okay, so what we thought we'd do first of all is just, I think we're going to have some pictures go up as well. Tell us a little bit about the festival yesterday, Tinika. Maybe I could ask first of all, how many people managed to get out yesterday? A lot of people. We had some, I mean, it was big numbers, right? We had a lot of people there. How, you, couple of thousand, would you say, or
1 million?
A million. Okay. Yeah.
That's why we ran out of cider.
Right. So tell us, what were your thoughts about the day, and reflect back to us a little bit about how it all went.
So I shared this with a couple people at the Harvest Festival that I don't know if you would relate to me, but if Steve and I host a party or have friends over, I'm always worried that nobody's going to come. And then I kind of panicked about that around 2 o'clock with the Harvest Festival. And then that was obviously not the case. And I think we didn't count. I wish we had counted this year, but I'm putting it at 500 plus because of the supplies that we ran out of and some of those numbers. So I think we were over 500, which would be our biggest Harvest Festival yet.
And we ran out of parking space as well, right?
Yeah, that
was an
We ran out of parking, we ran out of pumpkins, we ran out of cider. So if you did not get pumpkins or cider, I apologize. And next year we'll order more. So it was a great turnout. I did get the feeling from Burtonsville Day that we were a part of in September that a lot more people coming to the booth had heard about Harvest Festival, had kind of heard about our farm and knew what we were doing. So I should have known that we were going to have a lot of people, but it was more than we expected, which was really wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool. And it was also pretty chilly.
It was chilly. I still have windburn on my cheeks.
Yeah, so that was another sort of factor, I think, that, you know, we were concerned would people come out, but it was great to see so many people on our property and having a lot of fun. So tell us about some of the things what we did at the Harvest Festival. What were some of the highlights for you in terms of the like the maze was pretty special, right?
I think
there it is. We've got a picture of the maze up there.
It doesn't look with caution tape and stakes. It doesn't look that fancy, but Steve Mather is my number one assistant, and so I gave him a picture.
You just got defined there, Steve.
Yeah. among other things, but I gave him a picture.
Do you, Tina, could take Steve to be your number one assistant? I do.
He did, unfortunately for him, probably. But so he, and many people, actually, I think I said this to Bill Duncan, but or a couple people. When people see me coming, I know they're expecting me to ask them to volunteer for something, so I apologize. I'm fun to talk to, too, but I will ask you to probably come help me do something. But anyway, so Steve built the maze, and it was actually pretty tough. There were adults that were getting stuck in the maze, so it's still out there. It's a little beaten up now, but there were a number of people who helped nail in like 250 stakes and map out this really kind of fancy grid, so it was fun to see kids going through it. And then I would say, if I was honest, my highlight, I got to hang out on the farm for a little while and explain to people what we're doing with the farm and help kids pick out their pumpkins. And then if you looked back, really from anywhere on the property in the front, if you looked around, there were just like hundreds of people smiling and enjoying themselves. And I got to kind of run around, and as I was trying to check in with volunteers, just see faces that I've never seen on the property before. Mm. And so I'd say that was probably my highlight, was just watching people enjoy themselves.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it was chilly, but it was the sun was out, you know, before it got dark, and it was a beautiful day.
It was beautiful.
And it's a beautiful time of year. There was something really special about seeing so many people on our property and realizing what an amazing property it is, what a gift it is to us.
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of very nice feedback, and I appreciate it. And I don't like getting like props, because I think that a lot of what the feeling was and why it was so successful was, one, because we had so many hosts and volunteers that were working alongside me, but I think the feel of the community and the property kind of run itself and make it kind of a beautiful thing on itself. So I felt like we were kind of showing our kind of champion community and how wonderful it is to be here. So
yeah.
I think that's what
yeah.
made it a really great success.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I thought the bee stand was the highlight.
I forgot to mention.
I think
the
that was the big pull, really. That's why you got so many people there.
It did sell out.
Yeah, we sold out, honey.
Yeah.
But I mean, you mentioned conversations. I was at the bee stand for pretty much the whole time, but people were coming by and had loads of really great conversations, and most of them with people who, as of now, are not part of our community.
Right.
So something that struck me was just how, and I think you alluded to this. And I think this is related to something we've been talking about in this last series. You know, we've been talking about how can we share the good news, you know, what we call the good news, the fact that God loves us and God is for us and God wants to help us. How do we get to share that without being pushy and obnoxious and all the rest of it? And I what struck me, I guess, yesterday was how it takes time, you know, and so we've been doing this. How many times have we done the Harvest Festival?
This is the fourth one.
I mean, obviously, we've done other things too. And I think over time, our community begins to trust us that A, you know, we're not going to be super pushy, and B, that the event won't be really lame, a lame sort of church event where really it's a trick to get you to try and come to church and that kind of thing. And, you know, we've built momentum by being at Burton's all day and that kind of thing. So I think the thing that struck me was just consistency and being consistent, being faithful, and just keeping on being the good news and expressing God's love consistently. So, and I think, you know, what you've led us into with the Harvest Festival and other events like that has been a huge part of that. So I think we could, but we can all sort of take that into how we live our own lives, right? It's applicable. So anything else you wanted to say on the Harvest Festival at all?
No, just thank you. I'm probably due a million thank yous. I probably owe you guys a million thank yous, but thank you in collective, and then I'll send out emails and notes to everybody individually. But yeah. I thought it was wonderful. Oh, it was a great event.
It was a great event. So let's shift gears a bit. Tell us a little bit about reaching out to our local community in general. So we, you know, here we are in some respects in the middle of nowhere, right? You know, because we're on a large property. It's not a highly populated area, but there are communities around us that we want to be to share God's love with, right? So and we also live in a larger area. We're between two pretty big cities. So share with us a little bit, both in terms of what's going on and what we're looking to do heading forward as well.
Sure. So like Matthew said, we are kind of in a an interesting location because we're in between DC and Baltimore, obviously, and people from all over the area come to Cedar Ridge kind of from both of those kind of areas, north and west, south, everywhere. So we pull from kind of an interesting group of people. And so figuring out how to serve corporately has been also interesting. And because of our location, we're not actually accessible by bus on 198. There's no bus that comes here. So really the only way to get here is if you have a car or some sort of ride to get here. And so reaching out to the community has presented some challenges. So in the past and kind of in some current projects, we kind of go to where the need is versus having specific projects on the property. So what we've been doing as a corporate community, and then this is apart from all of the work that all of you guys are doing on your own and volunteering in your communities, but as a corporate community, we've committed, we've had a long-term partnership with Salvation Army Great Patrol, which is, we were committed for, I think it's been about 10 years, where once a month we would prepare a meal, bring the meal down to the Salvation Army, one of their offices in DC, very close to kind of Gallaudet area, and then we would go with them to serve the meal. And that's been an ongoing project for, like I said, about almost a decade. Unfortunately, we haven't had very much volunteer interest, and or maybe not interest, but availability. And so that partnership we're gonna put on hold for right now and kind of regroup and kind of take a look at where our resources are here and in terms of people, what we can sustain so that we're not kind of constantly canceling, which was what's been happening over the last, I would say probably 9 months. Another project, other two projects that we've had corporately have been another relationship with an organization serving the hungry and homeless in downtown Silver Spring at Shepherd's Table, and that was also that's also been a monthly commitment to serve brunch and or dinner to folks in need down at Shepherd's Table in Silver Spring, and that's continuing because it's a little bit of a shorter commitment, and we've been able to sustain that one. And then the last one I would say in terms of corporate serving for Cedar Ridge would be Birthday Books, which is kind of under Marianne Warner's leadership. We partner with three elementary schools, Riverdale Elementary, New Hampshire Estates, and Greencastle Elementary Schools, all relatively resource poor schools and communities. And we provide birthday books for students who might not get presents on their birthday, but they get to take home a really great little bundle of books and birthmarks, or bookmarks, not birthmarks. That would be an interesting present. Sorry. So those are the three kind of ongoing projects we have. And then looking forward, should I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I was going to say on that one, so there's also obviously what we do through our farm, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, and the farm, of course.
That's what we were celebrating yesterday, the harvest, is really sharing with our community, our local community, the fact that we've been growing these fruits and vegetables over the past year and giving those away to people in need in our community. So, you know, you make deliveries, or there's a team of people making deliveries to homeless shelters and other organizations, you know, in our locale, some further afield than others.
Yeah, so the farm has delivered primarily to Shepherd's Table and Elizabeth House, which is on the kind of West Laurel, I would say, or it's 198 and Route 1. It's a home that serves about 50 meals every night, and then to a small number of group homes that serve the formerly homeless. So that's another probably four or five partnerships that we've had. So yeah, I forgot about that too. So it's not like nothing's happening, but we're kind of I think looking forward, or looking kind of towards the future, I wrote down the list.
Can I interrupt you one more time? Sorry. I was just going to say, I know this is terrible, but I was just going to add in there, so Tinika just mentioned, before you go on to talk about the future, that we're putting some things on hold, right?
Yeah.
But some of that is also, you know, I think, as you mentioned, we've struggled to get, as a community, I think, to be available for a pretty massive commitment. If to go and feed the homeless in DC meant you had to buy all the food, cook it, prepare it, bring it in, take it down, go out and serve it, and then get back. So it was a big commitment. We were struggling a bit with that. But also what we found is a lot of these programs, I think it's fair to say, are inundated with other volunteers. Like, it's not to say there aren't needs, but they get plenty of attention, and we're identifying some other areas that are even closer by where they're not getting as much attention, and therefore there seem greater needs, right? Would you say that's an accurate
representation?
Okay, go for it.
So sorry. Similar to the process that we went through to kind of narrow down our global outreach to focus on IPALA and have a really sustained, very impactful movement in kind of one place. I think we're kind of looking to do that again in a local, kind of more local initiative. And so I wrote down a couple of things that came out of the Social Justice Forum in terms of our local impact, some of the themes that came up, and then that'll kind of, I think, guide us how we'll focus in the future. So there's about six of them. They're brief, but the themes or kind of focuses that the church, so you guys as a voice, said that this would be where we'd want to head would be to engage in advocacy, to use the farm and also Guatemala to focus on both food justice and global need, to form relationships through service projects, to partner with a local school in need, to partner with other local initiatives, whether faith-based or community partnerships, which we have a number of relationships that are kind of are growing and moving already, to become better informed people here about the need that's in our local community through workshops or guest speakers, and then also to include children. So include our kids involved, to get involved in the local community. So moving forward, I think we're gonna continue to have some of the projects that we've had going and kind of keep those going. But we have, there's a small team kind of forming to look towards the future about where we can kind of use some of these themes and guide our process so that we have a sustainable kind of movement where we focus on one community and kind of community initiative in particular. And a relationship that's been budding, and we've had kind of an ongoing relationship with Greencastle Elementary School for a number of years through some staff and families here that are involved in Greencastle personally, and then through kind of some corporate service projects that we've done, the birthday books, a few of our service outreach days we've served there. But I got a chance to meet with our outreach coordinator in the last week or so, and their list of needs is daunting and overwhelming, and not necessarily surprising, but it was very eye-opening to see a school that's really just a few miles from here, maybe even less than a few miles, in a very wealthy community with very serious struggles and resource struggles in particular. Mm. So
when you say wealthy community, I mean it's really though in a pocket. Like Montgomery County is a wealthy county, right. But it's a Montgomery County school, but it's in a pocket of I think you could say need, poverty even. I mean,
So if you are like me and Google elementary school financial statistics for just your spare time, if you look at the statistics for Greencastle and the feeder schools it feeds into, they're kind of stark and scary. And the students, many of the students there, like for example, some of the needs that were listed many of the students and their families don't have enough groceries to make it through the weekend, so their meals during the week are breakfast and lunch at school, a very slim dinner, and then they're kind of struggling through the weekend for their groceries. And so that's one of the projects that the outreach coordinator was hoping to connect with us about, which they send home right now. They send home 100 bags of groceries each weekend. A Friday afternoon, the kids go home with a backpack full of food, and then that kind of carries them their staples through the weekend. But they have about 800 students, or more than 800 students, and so the 100 bags is they don't need 800 bags, but they need more than 100 bags. Mm. And there's a number of projects that are kind of in the wings and waiting for people like us to jump into. So I think that's one kind of direction that we might be able to make a pretty great impact. And as Brian was listing the projects for EPALA and some of the impacts, that impact that we've been able to have, I started getting excited because I think that we could do something very similar with right in our own backyard.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And talking of food, we didn't mention there's a whole pile of food outside. That's not your shopping cart.
No. Right? With
that, tell us about that, the pile of food in the lobby.
Yeah, so one thing I've noticed when I've talked to my neighbors, so I live in the area, I grew up around here, and when I've talked to my neighbors outside of Cedar Ridge, they've a lot of times want to figure out ways that they can serve, or if they hear about things that we're doing here, and as I'm talking about our life at my, you know, Steve and I talk to our neighbors about our life here at Cedar Ridge, they get excited or inspired, like, oh, I could do that, or I could serve at a homeless shelter or do something. So I was trying to figure out how we could provide that opportunity for people coming to the Harvest Festival. We wanted people to come to our property, enjoy themselves, have a completely free event, and have a great time, but then maybe just put a little seed or a spark into them to bring something to share with people in need. And so that was the fee to get into the Harvest Festival was a canned good or a non-perishable boxed item. And so we got way more than we've ever gotten before. It looks like it's all compact in there, so I feel like it looks less than it was, but when it was piled all over the grass when people were pulling in, and almost everybody came with something in their hand to give before they went to enjoy our property. And then even there were a number of people who I think must have had groceries in their trunk, and so they had forgotten about it on the way in, but we had such a great time and then had seen the pile of food. They went to their trunk and got food and brought it over. There were people that were trying to give me cash, which I did not accept because it felt a little awkward. But just I think our community inspires people to give, and so that was really kind of a beautiful thing to see. So we wanted you to see all the food that came from primarily people not at Cedar Ridge, I think. So half of that food will go to the Elizabeth House food pantry, and then the other half will go into the bags that'll go home with students at Greencastle Elementary School. Yeah. So it's pretty wonderful, and there's great food in there.
Yeah, yep. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And then next week, obviously, I mean, we talked about doing the announcements. We've got Outreach Day or Day of Service. Any final sort of instructions or inspiration you want to give us as we come into next week?
I don't know if I have any more instructions.
Do you need people to sign up for things?
I do need people to sign up. I've been a little bit, because of the Harvest Festival and the service day getting pushed back to back, I've been a little slow getting the online signups online, but they will be coming. If they're not already on, they'll be coming. So there's a potluck sign up if you'd like to make something. I'll be out in the lobby. You can sign a old-fashioned paper if you want to. And then there's a little bit fewer projects this time, this go around, and so I think they'll fill up pretty quickly, but we have some overflow projects for you. So just take a peek and see if there's something that fits your personality and then sign up, and if you have questions, you can talk to me out in the lobby.
That's great. So next week, you know, like, just encourage everybody to show up. We'll have breakfast together at 9, right. Hopefully outside, you know, if it's, obviously if the weather's permitting, and then we'll go out and serve. And going out to serve, you know, the scriptures say very plainly, serving is worship, you know, so it's as much church as any other thing that we do. So please do come along. I think you'll have a lot of fun. And it's a great time of community as well, because we get to eat together and be together before we go out. So, Tinica, thanks so much. We're going to just, let's give Tinica a round of applause. Thank you. We're just going to pray for our local community. So let's pray together again. Lord, thank you for where you've put us. Thank you for this beautiful property that we're on. Thank you for who we are as a people, each one of us here right now, and everyone who's not here who's part of this community. And Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see where you've placed us. As we're here in this part of Maryland, in Montgomery County, and Lord, surrounded by all kinds of people with all kinds of needs, I pray, God, that you'd continue to lead us and guide us and give us the courage to step out. Give us the courage to reach out and make a mistake or two. But Lord, I pray that we would be, as you called us to be, and as we've even been reading about and studying about, you've called us to be a light on a hill. You've called us to be a place that can bring light rather than keep the light to ourselves. So God, as we think about all these different projects we'll be going to be doing next week, and as we think about more long-term, deeper commitments to places like Greencastle Elementary, Lord, let your light shine and let your love come to people who really need it. And Lord, thank you that you've chosen to work through people like us. So God, we just want to surrender to your will and your way, and we pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done here in Spencerville and Burtonsville and Laurel and all the areas around here as it is in heaven. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, Tineke. Okay, we just got another couple of quick things we're going to share. I'm going to call Derek Harworth up. Derek is one of our board members, actually. Let's give Derek a round of applause as he comes up. And normally when a board member comes up, they come up to talk about money. But we're not going to talk about money at all. Okay, so Derek's going to share with us a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, we participated, were invited to join in with an Islamic soccer tournament, soccer and volleyball. And Derek's just going to share a little bit. Derek, were you the captain of the team? Or
Jason Flew was the captain.
But you were the kind of manager. You coordinated it. So yeah. Share with us a little bit about what happened.
Okay.
We have a video as well.
It's called the Mazvor International Sports Tournament. This is our second year going. We played soccer and volleyball. In the video, it looks like we were the best team there, but I only showed our highlights. it's pretty cool. The first time we went, they said it was an interfaith tournament. Turns out the only reason it's interfaith is because we went. It's actually just... and everyone's really accepting. They made us food. They actually wanted me to talk at the award ceremony, but I couldn't stay after, and everyone wants to come and talk to us, and it's just a really cool thing.
And multiple point, did we win?
We won two games, and we won two soccer games, one volleyball game.
Okay.
And we lost to Canada in the playoffs.
So it was an international event.
Yeah, international. Last year, the farthest team that came
was
from
Germany.
Was it
the Canadian national team, or?
They pull from all over Canada, so they are actually really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's cool. So we didn't win the tournament, but we made a lot of good friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that the highlight seemed to be, like with last year, was how kind they were to us, how inclusive and generous they were towards us, right?
They invited us actually to more things that they're doing, a 5K walk that I think we actually already missed. I actually entertained the idea of maybe hosting a tournament here. And
yeah,
they love that idea, so I don't know. I'll talk to you about that later, Matthew.
Yeah, but, that's cool. Well, that's great. So this we have this connection. The mosque that organized this it's the Ahmadiyya branch of Islam, and they're the mosque on Good Hope Road. You may have passed that. And actually, DC is the national center for their movement. So every year they host this tournament. It's soccer, usually soccer, and then another sport. Last year was basketball, I think, wasn't it? And then this year, volleyball. And I have some friendships with the imam there and some other people, and they kind of invited us last year. So, this is another way of us reaching out locally across racial lines, across faith lines, to share and participate in God's love and to welcome one another and build bridges and break down barriers, the kinds of barriers that are causing so many problems in the world. So this is another part of how we're wanting to grow in our local community together. So we're just going to pray now. Maybe you can just stay with me while we pray, Derek. We're just going to pray now for other faiths in our local area, this mosque in particular. Before I do that, I just wanted to mention, maybe we can put the slide up. We put this out on Facebook as well. That same mosque have invited us to an event they hold every year. I got to speak at this event, I think it was last year or the year before. They invite different faith leaders in to a symposium. They call it Founding Member Day or something like that. So, they'll sort of have a focus on the leader of each religious movement. And share their perspective on particular things. Now, their title for this symposium, which is happening right after our service, actually, everybody's welcome to go. They serve a wonderful lunch at 1 p.m., and then there'll be some talks and discussions at 2 p.m. It's in the mosque on Good Hope Road. Their title is Loyalty to Homeland, and part of this is because These are a group of people from the Muslim faith who are wanting to show that they're not in favor of terrorism, that they're people who are towards peace and for peace. They feel very anxious that Islam is misrepresented by extremists. It's loyalty to homeland is kind of an unusual title, but I think it reflects some of their own angst and discomfort and how they might be perceived. So one thing we can do is, I think, just reach out with friendship and love and acceptance to people who have probably not received a lot of that, honestly, in recent history. Everybody's welcome, so please do go along. We have the Journey seminar right after our service today, so I'm going to miss the lunch, but I'll get there for 2:00. It's a bit of a bummer because they do a delicious lunch. I highly recommend it. But anybody that can get there will be very, very welcome. Hopefully see some of you over there. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are not afraid of people who have a different opinion to us. Your love reaches out to everybody, no matter what. You love everybody. And God, we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to reach out with your love and to share in a spirit of generosity and acceptance with people of other faiths. God, we pray that you would help us to be humble, to be loving, to be accepting. Lord, give us ways that we can do more things together and demonstrate to the world that love conquers hatred, that peace conquers violence, and that light, your light, overcomes darkness. Lord, may we live this and be this so that we can share it, Lord, far beyond this area. Lord, we're conscious that these divisions are destroying humanity. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring an answer. You would bring a solution. And again, we just want to thank you that you've chosen to use people like us in small ways and in big ways. So here we are. Use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, Derek. Thanks so much. And then let's round of applause for Derek again. Great job. And then finally, we mentioned last week, the focus last week was on, in terms of the message, was on the church. And we talked a little bit about the fact that we're part of a church, fairly small church in terms of the whole world, Cedar Ridge. But we're also part of a much bigger movement of followers of Jesus around the world. And I'm going to invite Eric Saria. Where's Eric? Eric's going to come up and just share. He has some friends who are part of the church in Palestine, who and the violence there has kind of flared up again. And he's going to share a little bit about a message from some of his friends and how we can pray. He's going to lead us in some prayers for that situation there. Thanks, Eric.
Hi, everybody.
Round of applause for Eric.
I don't know if many of you watch Saturday Night Live, but there's a character called Debbie Donner. I don't know if you know her. So that's kind of my special mission here. But, it's kind of exciting to hear, we say in our mission statement, we dare to dream of heaven on earth. And all this morning, has been pretty inspiring. I mean, the work that Tinica does with all our assistants, Steve, Matthew, and others, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, I came yesterday, I didn't do anything to help, I just enjoyed it, and all this life, and that's part of Kingdom on Earth. Hearing about the work with Guatemala, friendship, partnerships, now we're praying for political, governance and wisdom, that's great. And I'm kind of bringing us to stretch our, and the football thing, that's great too. And so I'm here to kind of stretch us, to stretch our heart just a little bit more about things that feel overwhelming, that we're powerless about, and don't feel local at all. But, as Matthew said, things in Israel, Palestine, you hear echoes in the news about things getting worse. There's been like in the last 10, 15 days, there's been now close to 50 people killed. In our news, we hear about there's been attacks, knife attacks by Palestinians against Israelis. There's been at least two, well documented. There's also been almost 50 Palestinians that have been shot dead in the streets. Our news say that it's just legitimate defense. I hear otherwise, and there are witnesses to otherwise. There's two Jewish guys that have been killed because they were mistaken for Arabs. So I don't think they were attacking anybody. A friend of mine wrote to me. She said, I am doing okay, just really sad. The random killing of Palestinians is happening at the entrances of our ghettos or cities. But as long as I do not go to the entrances, I am physically okay. And it's a sad situation and we feel powerless, but there was a message, and we're going to see a video. There was a message that came from Jack Sara, who's a pastor of an evangelical church in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, I can't remember. And he's the president of the Bethlehem Bible College, a place where our own Brian McLaren has talked a couple of times. And this message is actually addressed to us, not Cedar Ridge, but it's addressed to the church in the part of the world where we have some freedom of movement, some freedom of speech and of action. So if we can watch the video and then we'll pray.
Good afternoon from Bethlehem. This is Jack Sara, the president of Bethlehem Bible College, with you. I'm sad to say we're not living in an easy time, especially during these days where a lot of confrontations between the Palestinians and the Israeli soldiers are happening. You could look behind me and see how today was a very hard day, especially where the college is at a point where it is really getting in a dangerous situation. So we are asking your prayers on our behalf. Pray for the Palestinian people, to pray for our safety. I pray that the Lord will pour His mercies and His grace over our nation. We really don't need the bloodshed. Yet it is, I would say, as a result of all the conflict and results that are happening in our area. Please pray for us. We need your prayers. And please be in touch with us.
So I invite you to, if you want to stand up, and we're going to pray for a second for the members of the body of Christ that are over there, but the members of all ethnicities and religions that are over there. I will invite us to, you know, to stand up and just take a short moment of silent prayer. Rather than pray out loud and sound like I'm preaching under the guise of praying, I'm going to suggest three or four directions for prayer, and you'll take the one you want in your heart, and then I'll conclude by a word. First, we could pray for truth. There's a lot of untruth, so we could pray for that. Then, we could pray for the people that are despairing and that are losing themselves in violence, and that could be on any side you choose, or both sides. Then, we could pray for Jack as a representative of all the people there that are trying to be peacemakers, healers, and justice workers. And they really need our prayer. And then we could pray for us as a free group of people, that we may learn a bit more and that we may, you know, kind of accept to move forward with learning what small thing we can do. Maybe what we can do is very, very, very little. Maybe as little as a seed of mustard, but maybe we can. And that this joy that we share, this heaven we build here together, that we may remember to open it to our brothers and sisters. So let's just have a moment of silent prayer, and I'll conclude. Lord, you inspire us to hope, you inspire us to nurture each other, serve our neighbors, and see our neighbors across the street, across the lands. We just want to pray that you stretch us and help us to be peace worker in small measures, and to help all the people, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of passport, who are trying to be peace workers. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Eric. Thanks so much. Okay, if you could sit down, we're going to move into time of communion now. We're going to take communion together. And as we've mentioned a few times, during the course of the the service today, we've talked about the fact that we've been through this series where we've been looking at what is the gospel, what is the kingdom, what is the church, and we've said things like God loves us. Okay, the gospel, the good news is that God loves us, no matter who we are. So every single one of us here is accepted. So as we come into communion, if you just want to experience God's acceptance, God's love, you are really welcome to take communion. I mean, we have a very inclusive approach to it. Okay, so please do come and participate with us. God loves every single one of us. God loves the world. God has a great hope for the world. So we're even though we see, as Eric just shared with us, some dark situations in the world, we don't despair because we believe that God is moving towards something really positive. And not only that, but that not only does God want to redeem everything and bring love and light to everything, but God has asked us to participate in that process together. So we get to join in with this, and we've just been hearing some stories about just small ways in which we are getting to participate in this incredible thing. And something that struck me yesterday, and Eric just mentioned this in his prayer about, you know, just a seed, and Jesus talked about a mustard seed faith when he was talking about the kingdom of God. It was an analogy he used. And I was thinking yesterday, actually, as we were celebrating the harvest, looking out on the farm, which doesn't have, you know, we haven't got any crops out there anymore, but just think about the cycle of growing and harvesting and then decay and death and things going quiet over the winter, and then things will come back to life again. It's just, it's incredible that a seed, we planted seeds out there that were tiny little seeds, but they contain the miracle, the spark of life, if you like. They're packed with something that we can't really fully understand. And then they just grow a little bit, and they poke up a shoot through the earth and a leaf, and that leaf then just captures the radiant energy of the sun. And it soaks it up, and then it uses that energy, it converts it into food, essentially. It converts it into matter, which, you know, using water and other things from the soil, and it grows. And then we get to harvest it and eat it, and it gives us life. It gives us energy. And in the same way, you know, I think when Jesus talked about a small seed, we could think about our lives may be very small. They may seem very small. Our faith may seem very small. We may feel at times we barely have any faith. Maybe we feel at times that we do despair about situations in our own life or situations around the world. And yet, as we've said over this past few weeks, every single one of us, humanity in general, has this divine spark, this miracle of life within us that can grow. And it seems like that's what God is in the business of, kind of fanning those flames, blowing on that spark, bringing it into life. And I'm mixing my metaphors here, I know, okay? But think of this seed that we have that can grow. And as we just put a leaf up and begin to experience God's love and soak in God's love and let that in, we then grow and then we become food for others. This is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is that we actually give ourselves away. We give our lives away. We become food for people at work, people in our families, as they begin to experience love and benefit from knowing us and us being in their lives, rather than us being a drain on other people. We get to be positive. We get to be to give energy and give life away, and that's really what we're celebrating here in communion. You know, Jesus took food and drink and said, "This is my body. This is my blood. This is the image of God giving of God's self to us and saying, here I am. I'm here for you. I'm here to give life and energy and vitality to you. Feed on me." You know, now, you know, it's not a literal feeding, obviously, but what we're experiencing somehow in the mystery of eating this bread that Jesus broke when he celebrated this Passover meal and kind of did this in as for us as followers of Jesus for the first time. He said, "Here's food for you. Enjoy it. Take it in. Here's wine, which is reconciling. This represents blood that has been shed as a sacrifice that's so loving and inclusive and breaks down the barrier between God and humans. And we're celebrating the life that God has given us, but we're also celebrating the fact that we're going to go out and, you know, we've enacted a ceremony, a small ceremony, but we're going to go out and live that out in the week ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead. So as we come to communion, let's be very conscious of that. Let's soak up God's love. Let's experience this as God giving life to us. But let's also see ourselves as food, see ourselves as potential life and energy for other people, and ask God to empower us to do that as we take the bread and as we take the wine. We have places at the front here where we can serve one another, and the table in the middle is like that as well, and we have gluten-free options there too. So if you need gluten-free crackers, please come to those stations. So those are for self-service, if you like. And then if you want to be served communion, you can line up at the sides. We have people by the doors ready to serve you. We also have some stations around the room. The front stations here are under Serve and Hope. There are sort of like our community station where you can find information about our church. You can also find some of those prayer themes that we were talking about earlier on in the service for the year, and information about how you can pray during the month of October for our local community. The next station back is an offering station where we can give financially to the work of the church here. And then the station with under Grow and Journey back there are a prayer station where you can write out prayers and leave those prayers behind, and you maybe have a prayer request, and we'll pray for you during the week. Or you may just want to express a prayer. You're not asking it. It's not asking for anything. You just want to pray and write it out and leave it there. Please do that. And then finally, we have people in the back of the room. On that side, but you know, both sides, but that would be a good place to go at the back in the corner there. If you'd like prayer with a real life person, if you have a need that you want to share, if you've come in here with a burden, something that's weighing you down, please don't feel you have to leave on your own. Please know that you can share that and get some help and meet chat with somebody and have somebody pray with you who's been trained in praying for others and who will be a safe person. Okay, so please do take advantage of that as well. We're going to say a prayer together, and then after we finish this prayer, please come forward and take the bread and the wine. We'll be singing some songs together as always as well. Dear Lord of imagination and possibilities, we are so grateful for your hope, for the passionate feelings you have for us, for the wild and tender ways you love. We thank you, Lord. Help us to hold on to hope, especially when it would be easier to let go. Help us to dream, Lord. Help us to seek our purpose and use our gifts to participate in bringing wholeness and peace to the world. Help us to let go of what is temporary and to cling to what is good and true. Fill us with your love. Your kingdom is here, alive and thriving. Help us to seek it and to see it, and to share it far and wide. Amen. Okay, thanks everybody. Please come forward and take the bread and wine.